Hello, and welcome to episode 314 of the Extra Features Podcast. This is a movie review podcast. We will probably be getting into spoilers. So if it's a movie you're interested in seeing, maybe skip ahead a few minutes, just so we don't end up spoiling the ending for you. I am Doug. My camera is not working today, so you'll just have to deal with my still image for the time being.
I am Peter Gabriel.
I guess I'm the guest person today.
You're just here because I had nobody else I know that's available.
I kind of figured that. It's like, oh man, running out of ideas. Now I need someone. Hey, Chad, you don't have anything to do.
I know you have nothing to do on a Sunday night in California. I mean, it's not like you go out in your tidy whities to go pick up men tonight. That's usually Monday to Tuesday. So I know you're good for the night.
I know. And it's like, it's all rainy outside. So I've been like, being all emo, drinking coffee with marshmallows and writing. So what's for the agenda today?
I have a few things. We're not even getting to the agenda. I have many things to discuss. I haven't talked to Doug in like 3 weeks.
That is true.
So, too bad, Chad. So what do you write about? Like, you get up in the morning and you're a writer. What do you write about?
Are you talking to me or Doug?
Doug doesn't write anything. Oh.
No, not at the moment.
No, I just been like free writing lately because I've been trying to change some techniques up and stuff. And because like right now I'm working on a short and a TV pilot idea. Just kind of playing around with ideas right now.
One of these days, Chad, I'm going to have to give you my great idea, which will sell. I guarantee it. It's a fabulous
movie. I think you already told me your great idea. The one about the
post office,
right?
It's good. It's really good. I've told people that. You should write that down. I'm like, yeah, one day. It's never going to happen. I need an actual co-writer to write it down. I'll give them all the ideas. I just need it written down.
I just like having a good, I could never really, what's weird, because like, I've never worked well co-writers, because like, I have a very distinctive writing style. So like, even comedy or horror, or when I do my noir type stuff, people are like, oh, that's a Chad Meisenheimer script. That's always running that issue where it's like, oh, it's a Chad Meisenheimer script. And when someone tries to like, co-write it and fix things on it, they're like, ooh, someone's trying to mess with my style. So it's just like, it's not like a ego thing. It's just, that's just what happens when I write my stuff.
So, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever play 80s video games? I mean, you're not as old as me. Meisenheimer's like a little chicklet compared to me, like a little baby. He probably doesn't remember 80s video games. Do you?
Not recently, no.
Well, about a year ago, I bought myself a Pandora, which is like 5,000 retro video games in one. Mm-hmm. It hooks up your TV and you play it. I'm still trying to get off the first level of Ghosty Goblins 1 year later. Still on the same level.
Damn.
It is like the hardest game on the planet. There's no giving. You get hit once, you're dead. I'm like, really, game? Really? Just annoying the crap out of me. I can now figure it out. I've played the game enough. I can almost get to the end on the first level of the first map.
Okay.
I could do this. I figured it out. It's like one distinct stage at the beginning. Literally, I didn't realize today you can just run it. You don't have to kill one thing. Just run the whole level. I tried it today and it did it. I'm like, really? I never knew you could do that. Level 2 is a little more tricky, just the way they do things. And 3 is a monster. So I figured if I die, they'd leave me at the monster. Nope, they put me back on 2. I'm like, really, game? Back to 2. Why would you not just leave me at the boss so I can get used to fighting him? Nope. Can't do that, so.
It's because then I played in the Donkey 80s Kong. Games were punishing.
They were. Not like now. And I have some good news, Doug. I have 3 episodes of Last of Us to watch.
Okay.
I did finish Stranger Things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I quite liked it.
The Netflix one?
Yes. That's how far I'm behind.
You haven't watched that yet?
I finished a new season. Doug knows me. I watch movies. I don't really watch a lot of TV.
You see, I like series because I like it. But for that series, like, what's your opinion on it?
I like it. I didn't like this season. I just like, okay, time to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think season 1 and 2 are probably the best. After that,
they're excellent. But
oh, they're well made. No, they're well made. But it's just the first 2 seasons were so brilliant. I was like, that's what I hate about American TV is that they keep trying to drag it on. It's like beating a dead horse where it's just like, if you look at European stuff, it lasts like one or two seasons and it's like gold, 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 and they need to do that. But corporations, you know, run Hollywood and they always want to like leak every little penny out, like wring it out the whole time. And so like, come on. But that's going to change soon. I'm just waiting for all the banks to crash. So
Chad and his moose and squirrel jokes.
I don't want to offend my fellow Canadian brethren.
You're not a Canadian.
I know. America, we're better.
Back, I want to go. And I also finished Outer Banks. I did watch the new season of Outer Banks, which is pretty short for me.
I have never watched an episode my of Outer kid, Banks, my, so you're I, ahead well, of
I,
me.
I have younger children than you do. I think your younger son is my daughter's age.
He's 14. Is my younger
okay,
son.
So my daughter's a year. You have one in the middle. That I have a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Woo!
Soon to be 16 and 14, but we're not there yet.
Oh, I'm waiting for Simon to become like an alcoholic.
Very kind. So, Doug, we technically didn't tie on the Oscars. You technically beat me by one.
Okay.
But I did tell everybody to take Michelle Yeoh, even though I know it's the wrong pick, taking Kate Blanchett. But I said I couldn't go against my word that I said when I saw the film.
So how you guys did the tally?
I got 16, 15. Doug got 16. Kevin, I have no idea. No, here it goes. No, Chad wasn't prepared for this.
13, 14. 15, 16. I got 16.
So we all would have got 16 if I had taken Yo. But I said I wasn't going to because Kate Blanchett's my favorite. So I can't bet against her, even though I said she was.
I was just happy Tara didn't win anything.
Yeah, I know you are.
Piece of pretentious garbage.
Here he goes again, going on about Tar. Look, see,
that
guys,
how it feels,
the show,
too.
I have to replug in my cord because the mic's falling on the wall. Doug, no comment on the whale winning?
Well, that's going to be the first film we discuss tonight, so I figured I would save my whale opinions for then.
Oh, great. See, look what happens. I don't charge my computer ahead of time.
Like, I have not seen the film, but I've read the play. So if it's based, like, follow the play, I already know. Fat guy dies at end. Surprise.
Story of your life, Chad.
I wish, like, 300 pounds lighter. Maybe pre-heart attack, Chad.
Oh, yeah. Chad had a heart attack, if anybody cares. But you can find that on any episode of 20 Minutes with Chad. He'll refer to it. I got to charge this computer ahead of time. I apologize to our viewers. I'm dropping everything constantly because I have no room here. Okay, I will talk.
It's symbolism.
It is. So I'm going to move my whole setup because I've had people over this weekend. I've moved my table, so now I'm kind of screwed. But start the whale, Doug, and I will get organized.
All right, so the first film out of the gate is The Whale, directed by Darren Aronofsky, starring Brendan Fraser, Sadie Sink, Hong Chow, and Ty Simpkins. Since Simon's moving his stuff around, I will start off. I will say, if you listen to our least favorite episode of the year.
Don't tell him. I keep forgetting to post it.
Well, The Whale was my number 10 least favorite film of the year, so I can start off by saying I did not care for this film. I thought the acting was across the board. It was good. It was fine. I'm happy Brendan Fraser is getting all his flowers now. I loved him back in the 90s. My main gripe with this movie is probably Aronofsky. Everybody who's trashing this movie is trashing it on, oh, it's a fat guy, and fat people are gross. Ew. I don't think they actually watched the movie. That's not the vibe I got from this film. I thought the fat character, I thought he was handled maturely, I would say. My gripe comes from the insidiousness of organized religion. Chad said he read the play, so I don't know if this is in the play or if this is a Aronofsky edition. I personally felt like the film was Aronofsky battling his own inner faith. How can a character reconcile being a person of faith, while the organized religion simultaneously destroyed their life, destroyed any happiness in their life. That could be interesting, except that I despised the ending of this film. I did not buy the sudden, I would call it a conversion for Charlie. Why would he embrace religion at the end and then this symbolically rise off the ground to go to heaven? I think a man in Charlie's place where religion destroyed his life, first by, I would say, the sham marriage. I think he was gay all along and knew it, and he got into his marriage for religious reasons. When he finally came out and his wife and he divorced, when he had his lover committed suicide because of the religion. I don't see Charlie as a man turning to religion at the end. I think that was Aronofsky himself, making a Mary Sue out of Charlie at the end. And it was really the ending that I could not stand. But that is my opinion. What did you think, Simon?
Wow, you had a lot to say. I think I liked it more than you did, but I see your issue. I'm not going to deny your issue. I think it does exist in the film. I thought Brendan Fraser did a great job. I had a lot of problems buying the Sadie Sink relationship.
Okay.
She didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have teenage girls. I'm like, no, they're way worse than Sadie Sink. Sadie Sink being very passive to what I have to deal with some days. She didn't seem angry enough. Really? I just thought she was just playing a part. Do you know what I mean?
For a priest person, like, I haven't seen the film. Like I said, I've read the play, which has those elements already in the play.
Okay.
But that's like the basis, because I think this playwright also wrote the script feature too. So, but also the whole theme about like religion with Aronofsky. If you look at his last few films, they've all have been dealing with religion one way or another. For example, like The Fountain was like a very good example. But like a lot of his newer films, even think The Wrestler, even the Fighter, like things like that. It basically, no, The Wrestler, I think it was. It always comes to redemption, and that's always like a recurring theme, like finding yourself at the end type thing, like very depressing. But I agree, that's just like a lot. But yeah.
Okay, I mean, he made Noah, so that is steeped in religion.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like that's like a lot of his stuff deals with that theme. So it wouldn't surprise me when, like, even though the whale in the script had like the play had same issues and stuff, but I was like, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It's like it wasn't like my to see film on my list. Like, oh, I need to see this film. I need to see this film. I need to see this film. So.
Can I finish my point? You're done now, Weisenheimer. I know you're not used to having somebody to talk to. It's just a one-man show, because I would like to finish. Can I finish now? No, good for you. Thanks. So back to what I was saying. I thought his wife played great. Hong Chao was wonderful. I don't think I know her from anything else, but I thought she was excellent.
Just this year, she was in The Menu.
Oh, yeah, The Menu.
Oh, she plays the sous chef.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she was great in that too. So I love Hong Chao. I thought Brendan Fraser did a fabulous job. I do have a few issues, okay? I do agree with you on a few things. I love the conversation with his wife. I really enjoyed that. The conversation he has with the Christian kid, I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to let this go. It's not really doing much for me, but okay. Now, the end of the film is where I want to get into. Same thing you wanted, Jim. Why does he ever turn his camera on? I really felt that would never have happened.
Because he was fired.
He was fired?
Because he was already fired at that point, because he sent out that missive about, you know, fuck this, fuck that, write from your heart.
I didn't think that went out. That did go out.
That did, yeah, because he told the class, you know, I guess your words got to the faculty because they have, this will be my last class. So
okay.
He was fired for that. So
I misinterpreted that then.
He also knew he was dying in a few days anyway, so might as well turn the camera on.
Fine. Really? Okay. But that was more of a shock value, I thought, than anything else, to turn the camera on. I also felt like his death was a little weak. I kind of thought he should just go. Do you know what I mean? Him fighting religion, I didn't agree with. I agree with you. He just wanted to hear Moby Dick. Then start reading Moby Dick, you know? I think a lot of this was a little pretentious on Aronofsky, but maybe the playwright, too. I didn't read the book. I just thought it was pretentious by the end. I didn't hate it. I just thought it was pretentious. I'm like, I can't buy some of this crap. I mean, I've read Moby Dick, and that's what he wants to hear. It is dry and boring.
Well, I don't think it was so much Moby Dick as it was the essay that his daughter wrote. I think he more had the idealized version of his daughter, which I, from just watching the film, I think he was 100% wrong about her. I don't think she was this angel in disguise. I think she was just an asshole from the start.
Well, they tried to portray her as that, but again, my argument, she didn't do anything to really annoy me.
She posted the video of him. She recorded the missionary kid and sent that to wherever he was from, saying he stole the money. So I think she was just an asshole. I don't think she was doing it to redeem him. I think she was doing it to get him in trouble. I think she was 100% an asshole.
She didn't do a good enough job. I think she could have been a little bit meaner to him. I think she was just there for the cash, take the money and run. That's just the way I really took it.
That would also go in with my asshole theory.
I guess so. I don't know. I just think the way it was just okay. Didn't bug me. I just felt it didn't do enough for me. Like, I thought him having that conversation with the grocery guy was going to go somewhere. Nope. That just kind of sort of died. I'm like, okay. I don't know. It was okay. Like I said, there's nothing amazing about this film to even discuss. It's kind of just very surface level. Listen to them talk about their issues, get out their issues, and move on. Until you get the big reveal about his boyfriend, it's kind of like dull. That's all right. It'll be forgettable. Nobody's going to watch The Whale ever again. This will be it. It'll be lost. It's going to be kind of the Moby Dick.
Are you saying that this brought you into a triangle of sadness?
Oh, you know what? I might just tap out on triangle of sadness.
Oh, really? So you don't want to discuss Triangle of Sadness, directed by Ruben Ostlund, starring Harris Dixon, Charles B. Dean, Dolly De Leon, and a cameo by Woody Harrelson?
No, I could pass right now and just move on with my day. I absolutely will tell you, I hated this film.
I didn't dig it either. I actually had to watch it twice, which I felt.
Oh my god!
I was just like, what am I missing? And I'm just like, you know what? I feel like the better film, because it was almost the same themes, is The Menu. The Menu was a much better freaking film. On the rich, and it was like, of course, a European twist on it. It's like, oh, the rich are so bad. I'm so tired of, because like a trend right now. So it's like, yes, we know the rich suck. We know this already. Do something. But because he was European and the Oscars are snobby, they're like, this is a perfect movie. And that's why I got nominated, where it's just like, I felt like, I said, The Menu was a better film, that kind of same theme, and I feel like they could have nominated other things, but this movie was Triangle of a Broken Boner. That's what I call it.
I guess I'll be the voice of dissent here. I actually really enjoyed this movie. I found it really funny, I will be honest. The scene with the donkey that just made me laugh so hard. When the one guy couldn't kill the donkey, the other guy said, I'll do it. And then they all celebrate when he whacks the donkey in the head with a rock. And then the donkey lifts its head again. And he's like, oh, shit. I liked it a lot. I thought Dolly De Leon, I thought she was amazing as the person at the end who could actually survive on the island. I honestly, because of the very ending, I'm not sure he was necessarily saying that rich people are all bad. I think it was kind of more the saying of, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Just because of the way the power dynamic shifts when they're on the island. The rich people, they lose their power, and then the power goes to the head of the person who does know how to survive, so much so that by the end she is willing to, much like the donkey, bash in the skull of this completely innocent person just so she can hold on to her power. I enjoyed it. I'll be the opposite of you guys. I like this movie.
I couldn't get into this. I tried, Doug. Tried. I call it the triangle of boredom.
Me too. I watched it twice.
I don't know how twice. You can make it through. Doug, I hated everybody. Everybody needed a beating on this boat. All the rich people needed complete beatings. What was up with the guy taking the shit and the fucking diarrhea coming out? How is that interesting? How is that interesting?
It's that scene was to show that just because some people have riches and wealth beyond imagination, everybody still shits. So it's so even if you feel you're super powerful because you're rich, you still have to, you know, succumb to stomach issues. And that's just what I got out of it.
Right, but who cares? Who cares?
That's the thing. I think that's my big thing, because I look at it as a filmmaker and a storyteller when I watch the movies. I've seen so many movies like this where it's just like...
That's fair. Everybody's allowed to opinion.
I'm not just so you guys know.
Okay.
I did enjoy the two idiots wearing their life jackets when the boat's having issues. I thought that was kind of funny. The models were driving me insane. They're just like, oh, these people are annoying. The models.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The pretty people. I'm like, I hate you guys too. The Woody Harrelson drinking scene was actually good. It was the only thing I really liked was the Woody Harrelson drinking scene and the donkey scene. This was painful. Doug, I tried hard to get into this. Absolutely unable to. The boat sinking didn't interest me. I thought the island might be more. No, I just thought I was more annoyed than earlier. I had to listen to these people talk some more. Mindless. Okay. Mindless boredom is all I can describe the movie as.
Well, all right then.
Nothing to say, but I hated this that much.
It for somebody who has nothing to say, you keep going on and on and on about it.
It would have made my top 10 worst list. That's all I have to say. So much. I just like this movie.
Are you sure that's all you have to say? You're not going to go on again for another 5 minutes about how much you hated it?
Oh, yeah, I do have a few more things. The acting was solid. I will give the acting full credit.
Okay.
But I do know, I've never seen another one of this guy's movies. The other two are supposed to be really good. He did.
The Square and Force Majeure are the two that I know.
Right. Well, I've seen the remake of Force Majeure, which was absolutely painful.
You watched that?
I've seen the remake, never the original.
No, remake was garbage. The first one was amazing.
All right, so we go from a triangle of sadness to a bear on cocaine. We will now discuss Cocaine Bear, directed by Elizabeth Banks. Let's see, starring Kerry Russell, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Christian Convery, Alden Ehrenreich, Brooklyn Prince, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., Margot Martindale, and the late Ray Liotta.
You forgot somebody.
Who?
Brooklyn Prince.
I said Brooklyn Prince.
Okay, good. Because I loved Florida Project.
Okay.
Scott probably hates that too, so.
If you want, I could start. I thought this movie was
no,
fun.
Oh, no, hold on. I want to finish this before I go on. Chad, why do you wear a bear costume while doing cocaine?
Because it's fun.
Fair enough.
I call it a honey trap. Ayo.
I thought this was a fun movie, but that's about it. It wasn't groundbreaking or anything. I think there might have been too many storylines that didn't really meet up in the end. I thought maybe the guy who lost his wife was going to end up having a romance with the mother who was out in the woods looking for her kid, but that never happened. But individually, the scenes, there were some really fun scenes in here. I like the tough guy, the tough biker gang guys trying to hold up O'Shea Jackson Jr. in the bathroom and then him just wiping the floor with them. I thought that was fun. I like the scene at the gazebo where Isaiah Whitlock Jr. is on the roof and then the other guys are on the ground. I thought that was a fun scene. But all in all, it didn't really mesh fully together for me. I thought the sum wasn't as strong as the parts. That's all I got to say about it. It was fine. It was fun. But that's about it.
That's all you have to say? It was just fun? That's about it? Wow, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
I think this film starts off – hang on. We're missing a whole ton of things. I find it very slow to get going. I really thought the opening was kind of like weird. Taking out the hitchhikers, I was kind of like, okay. And then it goes to that whole scene with Margaret Martindale trying to pick up the guy from Modern Family for 20 minutes. It was a little quirky. Come on, the kids trying to do coke wasn't that. Mild intensity humor there.
Yeah, that was fine.
Okay. We get there, they go out, but that ambulance scene was phenomenal. I think that ambulance scene takes the cake. That was the whole movie for me was the ambulance scene. Now with that,
that was fun.
That made me laugh. Because I didn't realize that was the IKEA guy that did the IKEA things I like, pretend he's an IKEA employee. I didn't know that was him, but that was good. So I watched that. I'm like, okay, this is good. Let's get going. Then I find the film just kind of dies after the bathroom scene. The bathroom scene, then it's the ambulance scene. Then I think that's it for the funny, isn't it? Except for, I guess I'm supposed to find it funny when the Modern Family guy goes, bears. The little kid goes, bears can't cut trees. He goes, of course they can. And the cocaine bear goes to chase the guy. I'm like, okay. I just... felt it ran out of jokes, and the end is terrible.
See, I haven't seen it. I'm like, that's my thing where I'm just like, I kind of knew it was going to be kind of like an ant movie, sort of like Snakes on a Plane kind of thing.
It's better than Snakes on a Plane. Doc, the end of the film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When they go to find Brooklyn.
Yes.
Who cared? Do we need to find Brooklyn? I really didn't need any of that storyline. The whole kid storyline was not needed.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I thought it did have too many storylines that...
Right, but what storyline would you have dropped then? I'm asking you that question.
What would I have dropped? I probably would have dropped... Or my thing wouldn't be to drop, would be to add. Like I said, I thought maybe have Alden Ehrenreich... hook up with Kerry Russell at the end. That way there's a reason to have those two stories and the extra runtime that it added to an already pretty slight film. I would have had them hook up at the end of the movie. That's what I would have done.
But hold on. You want the hitchhiker to hook up with Kerry Russell? The guy's like the happiest hitchhiker you've ever seen.
No, not the hitchhiker. Alden Ehrenreich.
Alden Ehrenreich's the guy that hangs out with O'Shea Jackson, right?
Yeah, and his wife. His wife
I would have been fine with that. But we can't have that hitchhiker who did nothing to this bear, did nothing wrong, and his wife gets mauled. I mean, mauled. Now, the only thing I think was supposed to try to save this movie was the mass amounts of gore that really are just cartoon gore to me.
Yeah, I definitely see Elizabeth Banks being influenced by, like, Looney Tunes cartoons. I just don't think I don't know. It was okay. I know there are people out there who love this movie. I'm not one of them, but I also didn't hate it. I think it was.
I didn't hate it.
I think it was a decent time. There's worse ways to spend 90 minutes, I guess.
So I'm going to turn this over to the director of the house. Now, we have two movies out lately. Elizabeth Banks and Cocaine Bear. And Michael Jordan in Creed 3. Elizabeth Banks is not in her movie, but Michael Jordan is in his movie. Mm-hmm. Does it make a difference when a lead actor is in the film?
No, not really. It just adds on more job responsibilities. Because if you're acting in your movie, you have to also, like, do the acting side of it, which is in itself is complicated because you have to be in the scene and be present. Whereas a director, you're kind of overseeing everything, making sure you're, it's like a lot of people do when they're acting, they're watching the other person perform and not and being present. That's the skill set to learn. Luckily I have that skill set, but a lot of times it's harder to do that.
So when you were rejecting Check Please, when you were in it and starring and directing it.
And producing, yeah.
And producing. My argument is, so, okay, it's just you. I get it. You're only directing this. But this is a big budget film. Is Elizabeth Banks only directing now because she can't act?
No, I think Elizabeth Banks could act. She does. It's just she's older, and that's the thing, where she's just older, and the stuff that she could act in, she can't kind of do because she's too old to do this stuff.
Well, shouldn't she take over the Jennifer Gardner mother roles? Because Jennifer Gardner just puts me asleep.
Well, that's just, I don't know. I'm just like, is she, I feel like a lot of older actresses, when they start out, she's a type too, where it's just like, There's certain trajectories when you start as an actor that you can see certain actors are just going to focus on acting and others go on to like direct eventually, mainly. I see her going off doing more directing, sort of almost like Natasha Lyonne, where she was an actress, but she's going into more directing. A lot of actors too, they want to have creative input. Acting's not as creative as everyone thinks it is.
So I just want to say, if you leave that National Treasure, Natasha Lyonne, alone, she
oh, I love her.
She wants.
I love her.
Don't touch to the
dude, I love her since I was young.
Leave her alone. So have I. She's fine in those American Pie movies. Don't screw her up. Leave her alone. And by the way, I will have a full review of Poker Face one of these days when I finish the next 9 episodes.
So 1 down, 9 to go?
1 down, 9 to go. But I got 6 Last of Us, Todd. That's pretty good for me.
Okay.
I haven't watched it since week 6, but that's pretty good for me. But I am up to date on Mandalorian, just what that state is.
I've watched 2 episodes of Mandalorian in total, so you're ahead of me.
Total?
Total.
Wow.
I'm not a Star Wars guy. I'm
a Star Wars junkie.
So... All right,
like
so,
Star Wars, but more Star Trek.
There we go. Good thing you missed it. Listen to episode 26, I think it is, where we discuss all the Star Trek films.
So do you want to move on to the Causeway?
I can pass on that one, too.
Oh, really? Directed by Lila Neuberger? Or
lovely lady from New York. Bauer. She's a theater director. I met her at the
show. She's a playwright, actually.
No, right, she's very lovely, tiny little thing. She looks like the chick from House, the one that was in charge of House. I can't remember her name, but she looks exactly like her.
And let's
Linda, Lisa, something.
No, it's Lila.
I don't remember.
No, the woman on House. Now I'm screwing him up. Go ahead. Jennifer Lawrence.
All right, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry.
Oh, I have a Brian Tyree Henry story. Very quick.
Okay.
Continue. So we're waiting for Brian Tyree Henry at Causeway. no sign of him. We know he's there. He went to the wrong theater. Not a joke. So he, there's two theaters right beside each other. His driver dropped him off at the wrong one. So he signs for all these people, but he's at the wrong movie. Then he comes back to his movie, waves at us, and goes to the press line. We're like, really, Brian? Really?
Well, he was probably late. He had to be somewhere.
Oh, he was very late. He went to the other theater's right beside him, so he had to walk two blocks over to the right theater. So there's okay. My bad Tyree Henry movie. So Causeway.
Yes. Let me check my notes.
Can I start?
Sure, go for it.
What the hell is going on here? This is dull. Oh, my God. This is like an indie film. This feels exactly like one of the films I do interviews about. But it's only got good ratings because it's got Jennifer Lawrence in it. We got to watch it. She's so good. No, she's not. Dull. Basic. Nothing really happens. Her car breaks down and her and Brian Tyree Henry develop a relationship. Like, I found none of this really fascinating. I found it, maybe it worked better as a play, maybe, but I mean, as a movie, there's nothing here to captivate the audience. I mean, she drives her truck, she has a few meltdowns, they become friends at the end, and obviously date. And that's really about it. He gives her the car for free. What guy in New York does that?
They're not in New York, they're in New Orleans, I think.
Yeah,
they're in New Orleans.
You see, the other thing too is it's like people like stories and characters, which Simon apparently doesn't like stories.
No, I don't. I've seen all your scripts, so they all stink.
This person, he loves Tar and Nomadland, which are clearly garbage films. But no, I feel like Causeway, it was an above average movie.
Before you continue this, I have seen one of your films, Everything Mice and Iver. Chuck Please, Genius.
I look at the reviews and I'd be like,
Chuck Please is a genius. Nothing. Genius. Nothing.
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying, buddy. I don't see you doing anything.
Crash won Oscar for Best Picture years ago. Really aged well.
Yeah, I disagree on that.
But I feel like it was above average movie. Like it was based like very. As a filmmaker, very story character based. If you're looking for like Marvel or whatever, definitely not the cup of tea. I enjoyed the movie. Jennifer Lawrence really didn't add anything to it. I also don't think she's that great of an actress. Brian Tyree Henry did a very good job. I see why he got nominated. Like he did a really good job in it. As a filmmaker, There were certain technical errors that threw me out of the story, which I always judge a movie based on, like, if it pulls me out of the movie, the driving sequences. There are certain driving sequences where you could tell they were against a green screen or a projector thing because I don't know if it were, like, last-minute reshoots or, like, they're like, oh, shit, we're out of money and we have a few car scenes. Let's do it. And it totally took me out because I was just like, it was during the emotional scenes too, which I think played an impact on it, where it's just like, it took me out of some of the things because Jennifer Lawrence was also breaking down doing her stuff. And I think that's why I don't think her performance is great, maybe. But when it comes to like things where you see, like, you tell it's green screen, I'm like, even people like my mom watched it with me and she's like, something's pulling me out of the scene. I was like, oh, it's the green screen that's completely obvious. Because early on in the movie, you could see there's process trailer type thing, and you could tell when it's actually on a trailer being shot real, and then on the screen, like, oh, this is like a TV show. It's like, oh, we don't have any money, but here's a green screen. I also did a movie recently where I was like, that's what they did. They shot it in a studio and used the whole green screen and projector screen, and that looked better than this movie. So that's what I thought. But I give it a C plus type movie.
So we're roughly the same range.
Yeah, I give it a C plus.
Gave it a C minus.
I probably like this a little more than you guys. I didn't of love it. You. But I knew I would like Brian Tyree Henry. I'm a big fan of his. Love him on Atlanta. Loved his one scene in Now I'm blanking on the name. If Beale Street Could Talk, he came in and just did one scene in that film, and it was amazing.
He was hella good in Bullet Train.
Yes, Bullet Train.
Bullet Train cracked me up.
I've seen him a couple times on Broadway, too. He was the original General Butt-Fucking Naked in Book of Mormon, and I saw him there. And then I saw the play he did, Lobby Hero.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So yeah, I'm a big Brian Tyree Henry fan, so I knew I would like him in this film. I will be honest, Jennifer Lawrence actually surprised me. It's been a while since she's had to carry a movie. She did do Don't Look Up, but that was kind of a co-lead with Leonardo DiCaprio. This one, she kind of put the film on her back. It was her production company that did it. I really liked her. This was the first time where I felt she was playing an adult character. She wasn't the young ingenue or anything like that. She was an adult character with some adult problems coming back from the war. I thought she did a pretty good job in this film. I will be honest. The film wasn't spectacular. It wasn't great. I did really enjoy the performances, though. I'd be in the B range on this one.
Wow. I got to agree with you. I don't think it was badly acted.
Acting pretty complaining. Like you say, it's a very story moved by characters. Like,
agree with that. But it
have you watched Richard Linklater movies?
I love Richard Linklater.
Someone's having a stroke.
Too much syrup. I just find that it needs more interesting story. It's just very basic conflicts. I mean, Hurt Locker does a better job of basically the same thing.
Fair, okay. But this is, I don't know, I just thought this was one of the more believable movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely believable. Very believable. Just uninteresting.
Okay. All right. Well, now I'm dying Michael to hear Hammer what you think comedian. Of
say what?
Nothing.
All right. I am now curious as to what you think of You People, directed by Kenya Barris, starring Jonah Hill, Lauren London, Eddie Murphy, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Nia Long, and David Duchovny.
Chad, I know you saw You People. Go ahead.
I actually liked it. I'm not a big fan of Barris. Not really, because I feel like a lot of his comedy gets very sociopolitical, preachy, shoved down your throat. I've like a lot of his stuff, like Black-ish and all his like TV series, they basically get to the point where it's like, okay, we get it. Social commentary. I always love Jonah Hill. He always entertains me no matter what he does. He always does a good thing. One of my favorite comedians kind of contemporary right now is Sam Jay, who played his podcasting co-host. I've always liked her. She did really good in it. I wish Andrew Scholl's character was more in it. I would love to see more of his friends in it. Like a lot of his friends were like played by comedians, and I feel like that was really good. I feel like Eddie Murphy was wasted, but Eddie Murphy's also another performer where he could make anything really good. Like he had very one-dimensional material and he did a pretty good job with it. Same with Nia Long. What was that, her name, Lauren London or something like that? I've always butchered her name. I always know that's Nipsey's girlfriend. So she was pretty good. Like, I feel like the performances, the comedy was believable, like, kind of like suspend disbelief that the only thing that bugged me as like a director writer type person, I feel like they're in their late 30s trying to act like their 20s. I think that was, like, after a while, I was like, they're not, okay, you know, okay, it's Jonah Hill, so I kind of disbelieve, like, okay, I get it, okay, it's a comedy, okay. But, and, like, a lot of the comedians, they're all in their late 30s, early 40s. So I'm like, and they're acting like they're in their 20s. And I was like, wait a minute, they're, like, this quit his office job like that, and things like that. I was just like, That was the only thing that kind of bugged me. And then them wasting Eddie Murphy, because Eddie Murphy, even though Eddie Murphy did a great job in it, it's like he could make a turn and polish it and make it to probably win an Oscar type person. Like, that's how good Eddie Murphy is, and it shows why he is Eddie Murphy. But I give this a film a B. I give it
Hold
a B
on. Because you're comparing Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was good. Did you see A Thousand Words or Meet Dave or Norbert?
Yeah, but he's like the only good thing in those movies. Like, he's good enough where when you have the raw talent that he has and the skills, yeah, the overall the product freaking sucked. But he was good. I don't care what people say.
I haven't seen him so long.
He's good. It's just the movies, just like, eh. But I give it a B. Like I said, I give it a B.
I think I saw this the day it came out or a day after it came out, so I apologize for a little behind on my memory of this. I remember being just okay. I love Jonah Hill. I got to give him credit. Jonah Hill makes me laugh. He's pretty much me, but as an actor version and shorter and fatter. And I will give him full credit. He makes me laugh. He says how he feels, and I really feel maybe I come off a little Jonah Hill sometimes. I just thought it was a little predictable at times. I actually would say predictable.
That's how Barris writes, though. That's Barris. Kenyon Barris is the writer director.
Help me out. What else did they do?
He did. Trying to think off the top of
this
my head.
This is his feature debut, but he did like Blackish on Television.
Oh, see, I have no idea. Never seen it.
And he also wrote the remake of the Cheaper by the Dozen with Zach Braff. He was the writer on that too. So that's what I say. That's what I'm saying. Did you see the Zach Braff?
I did.
That's Kenya Barris who wrote it. It gets very preachy in your throat. That's how
I don't
is.
Need to ever see this guy again. Then. I think You People is just a basic Netflix comedy. What I expect from Netflix. It takes no chances at any time to make me funny. I mean, the Farrelly brothers swing and miss a million times, but I'd rather see one of their comedies than this. My problem with this is just basic. It's, you know what's going to happen in every scene. Even if the white family's doing it to the black people, the black people are doing it to the white family, like, takes them for a black haircut. I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Or they go and he goes, I can't, I'm like, I can't deal with this garbage anymore. It's just repeated. And repeated on both sides. I'm kind of like, it's watchable. I'm sure people might like it, but I can't recommend it to you.
Yeah, I'm much more of the not liking it camp.
There you go.
I famously don't like rom-coms.
I do.
I put this one on because I love Eddie Murphy. I mean,
so do we all do.
I thought his big comeback, Dolomite Is My Name, I thought he was fantastic in that. Like Chad said, he was wasted here. There really wasn't much for him to do. There was one scene that really made me laugh, and it was the Kenya Harris cameo when they're on the plane and they're saying, you know, damn, that guy is cold, like so cold, like he'll kill you and then get a good 9 hours sleep. And then Kenya Barris sits down and is like, yeah, I've done that. I mean, that was the one scene that really made me laugh. My other big problem with this was, to me, it was filmed like a TV show. The lighting and everything, it all looked like a television. It looked like a sitcom episode, just longer. It didn't feel like a motion picture to me. I'm not a rom-com fan. I didn't like the way it was shot. I'm definitely in the C-, D-plus range on this film, I'll be honest.
Ouch.
Well, I agree with the cinematography. Like, it felt like that goes back to Barris being a TV person. Not exactly. You can see that in his movies.
No, we got to ask the director another question here since he's here. And it's not his show, so he has to listen to me for a change. Do you find, as you watch movies of first-time directors, you can tell if they have a TV background or not a TV background? What's the tell?
It's just a certain, like, just you can just tell. It's kind of hard to explain to, like, layman terms. Like, it's just a way you could, like, if they have a TV background and you go to the TV show and you can see that and then compare it to their feature, is very similar. It has a very similar style, tone. Because every director, and that's one thing that always throws me off when, yeah, they've only done a first-time feature. I hate when they say that. When you're a director, you're a director. It doesn't matter if you're directing plays, film, commercials. But you could tell the style. Like, you could tell if someone's a commercial director. You could tell, perfect example for a theater director, Causeway, going back to Causeway. You could tell it was a theater director directed it because it was an acting, moving the story. It's just like, it was structured like a play. It's like point A, okay, act two, and you could tell. You could see the art. Like TV, you could just tell, like, the shot lists, like, there are other longer shots or something. It just, you could just tell.
Okay. There we go. Worked our special guest in again. Look at that.
Yeah. So thanks to that little pearl of wisdom from Chad,
we can...
That was a good transition. That was a good transition. So now we can discuss Pearl, directed by Ty West, starring Mia Goth, David Cornsweet, Tandy Wright, Matthew Sunderland, Emma Jenkins-Puro, and Alistair Sewell.
I'm dying of that transition. I can start on Pearl, but I hate Ty West almost as much as Chad does. I tried to like this film. I don't like Mia Goth. I think I've come to terms with myself that me and Mia Goth need to part
She's
ways.
Like that Alabama cousin you want to have sex with. It's just like, ugh. It's like disgusting. You know, I'm just like, you're like looking like, what?
No, I agree with you. I agree. I see what you're saying.
I'm like, hey, you know, you get some moonshine and then, yeah, whatever. But it's just like, no, it's just like, I just can't stand Ty West movies. And I don't, as a filmmaker, I don't like saying I don't like something. It's just, his stuff isn't for me. Like, I watched X. I was just like, okay, I've seen this before.
So that's why
I was just like, and Pearl, I was like, I didn't really, like, I watched the first 5 minutes, I was just like, nah, not gonna happen. I'm like, nope, cause it's a trilogy. He had a third one coming out.
What?
Yes. It's a trilogy. So I'm just like, he's just like, I don't know. It was a hard pass. I give, his stuff to me is D. I just give it a D. Even without saying, I just know how predictable, like, when he's like, by the numbers. It's like, D. He loves a D.
I'm the opposite. I actually really, I like this. I like that he filmed it, so it looked like a 1950s musical. It had the bright colors. It had that lighting. And then once the killings start, when you see it in those, Technicolor widescreen I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really interesting way to do it. And I thought Mia Goth gave a hell of a performance. That there is that, big monologue she does at the end, the uninterrupted, I think it's like 7 minute monologue that she gives. That was a really good performance in that. Easily, I think, as good as Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie. Unfortunately, there is a horror genre bias with the Academy. I think Mia Goth gave just as good a performance as just about any of the nominated actresses this year. Do I think she would have won? No, I actually do think the right people won. Maybe not Jamie Lee Curtis. I personally would have went with Stephanie Sue, but I thought Mia Goth gave a hell of a performance here. I thought Ty West shot the hell out of this. I really like this movie.
Okay, I'm going back for Meisterheimer Hijacked again. Again, I thought it was predictable. You knew where the story was kind of going. Like, she started escaping, and we've already seen X, so we know what happens. She becomes the killer at the end. Like, there's no surprises there. I just wasn't surprised by anything. I can't buy Mia Goth doing anything. I am bored by her as an actor. Just does nothing for me. I'm just like, eh. And like, he keeps trying to shock me, and I'm like, this is not shocking.
See, I don't think he was going for twists in this movie, because it is the prequel to X, so we know Mia Goth's Pearl survives and goes on to become the killer. I think the draw here was the filming technique, the style that he used, that he shot it like a 1950s film still had the 2020 violence in it. I thought that's what I liked about it.
I can't disagree with you more. I was physically bored. Another one, like Triangle Sadness, I'm like, can this thing just fucking end? I don't care about anybody in this film. You knew the mom was going to get it. You knew the dad was going to. It was evident everything going to happen.
Yeah, it's all Hollywood, like all horror tropes. That's all he does. It's like all his movies, and once again, he's just not my type of films I like. He just follows the tropes of the horror thing and throws different styles. Like basically, it's like Wizard of Oz on acid, pretty much. That's pretty much what he does. Unless, like, that's, he even said in things like, "Oh, it's like a horror set in Wizard of Oz." But that's just I don't know how people still give him money to make movies while filmmakers like myself or some don't get money.
All right, and now we will talk about the very sad death of Dick Long. Directed by Daniel Scheinert, starring Michael Abbott Jr., Virginia Newcomb, Andre Hyland, Sarah Baker, Jess Wexler, Roy Wood Jr., and Sunita Mani. Now, I will be honest, I put this on because Owen and I went to go see a showing of Death of Dick Long with a Q&A afterwards by director Daniel Scheinert. I had never heard of this movie before going into it, so it took me completely by surprise. I absolutely adored this film. I thought it was funny. I thought it was very touching. I thought it was moving. There is a scene in it where Virginia Newcomb finds the truth about the death of Dick Long, and her reaction to it is one of the best performances I have seen in a long time. I'm trying to talk around it because I don't want to spoil how Dick Long passes away. But if we go into it in discussion, I will happily discuss it. But I absolutely love this film. It was a lot deeper than the plot. If you just look up the plot, there is much more to it than that. And that's what I'll say for the moment.
Wow. Well, as always, I even disagree with Doug. I didn't hate this movie. I thought it was okay. Parts of it I did really like. I thought when the film got a little bit more moving, as they got through the plot, the beginning of the plot, I thought was a little rough for me. Just getting through that initial stages. But I loved him driving his daughter to school. It was pretty funny. I will give that full credit. I did enjoy the scenes with his wife. The scenes with his wife are the best scenes ever. And the sheriff's office made me break out a couple of times. The couple scenes from the sheriffs are all talking to each other. And I thought the end of the film was really good. I did not see how this was going to end, and I thought it worked perfectly at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know me in slow movies, they just never work for me. I need a little bit more pickup on things. But overall, it's kind of in the middle. But I thought the acting was great. I thought the directing was fine. It was just I don't know. It just wasn't for me. I thought some of the actors were okay.
Okay.
I mean, the ending was great. I thought the last scene with they explained kind of the end and just sort of move along, I thought was kind of Mayberry. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. Chad, did you watch this?
I did not. It's on my queue, so I want
to
see it anyway.
You have nothing to say, so goodbye.
And nothing to say here.
Yeah.
There was just the one. I just have to call out this one line in the movie that just really hit me harder than I thought it would. Virginia Newcomb, I forget the wife's name, but she asks him, she asks her husband, have you ever? And his response is, this might not be the exact wording, but he says, just because you get married doesn't mean your feelings go away. Now,
he does say that.
He could, what he's talking about in the film, that is shocking and whatever, but that line could be about drug addiction. It could be about alcoholism. It could be about anything. And that to me was the metaphor of the movie. Just because you get married doesn't mean the feelings go away. A lot of people get married, we could change our situation, and getting married will fix that, or having a child will fix that. Just because you have a major life change, it doesn't necessarily make the feelings you had before go away. And that's what I took from this film. That is what hit me the hardest. Even though the film is so over the top and crazy, that's what
it came back to for me. It works for these characters. Mm-hmm. The over the top and crazy. Those scenes with the police deputy comes are really good.
Yes.
So you didn't notice your car? Nope, didn't notice. So was it a good car or a crappy car? Well, it was a crappy car, but you said it was a good car. Just things like that. I'm like, where's Meisenheimer? He wouldn't like this film. The dialogue works for him. I mean, it is smart dialogue. It's just not what I like. I'm not saying it because I love Tar, and Chad hates Tar because it's bad dialogue. So that's probably really the issue. There.
And pretentious.
I love pretentious movies. That's Doug. That's one of my favorite things. The end of the film, I'm going to not spoil it. I'm going to kind of do-si-do around it for you. Did you think it should be more severe than what it was?
No. I don't.
So you think the ending works for what they were going for?
Yes.
So did I.
Because of that one cop's line to him, when he says you're free to go, he's like, what, I can just go? And the cop's like, you'd rather stay here and have all these people talking about you? So, yes, because of that little bit of dialogue, I think, yes.
I think my favorite scene is when the cop goes, Richard? That means Dick? Dick, Richard? How do you get to Dick from Richard? I was dying on that scene because I have a little bit of a side story. An old neighbor, my dad's name was Richard. And we had an old neighbor, he's called my dad Dick. And he used to say, I go, why is he calling you Dick? He goes, because he is one. So my dad said about my old neighbor, if he ever hears this, too bad for him. But I think I will give Doug credit. Nice find. I'd never heard of this. It wasn't for me, but I'll give you credit that I hadn't seen it or heard of it. So kudos for that. And we're not ruining anything. I think we're very nice to this film by not really getting into anything.
Yeah, because I think if you hear what the plot is, what it's technically about, I think that would turn a lot of people off.
I agree.
But if you sit and watch it and just go with it, I think you'll have a really good time.
Chad will love this, I'm convinced.
It's definitely on my list. I just didn't get it, the time to look over it for this week, I should say.
All right. Let's discuss Sorcerer, directed by William Friedkin, starring Roy Scheider, Bruno Kremer, Francisco Rabal, Amadeu, and Ramon Bieri. Excuse me.
I want this premise. I did not rewatch this, but I have seen the film.
Okay.
And Chad has the same problem.
I've seen it.
Read the notes just so I had some idea to have a discussion with you, and things came back to me.
Okay.
And I saw this 3 years ago, and I apologize to the viewers and listeners. I've been doing so many interviews and just working. I just did not have time to revisit it. So I apologize to Doug, but I have seen the film.
Okay.
Because he knows what I'm like. Okay, I'll start. Yeah. This premise is genius. this, to having all the guys having reasons to show up, fabulous. I love the shooting. Freakin' to me is just an underrated genius. He does not get enough credit. Spielberg seems to get all the credit. I'm kind of like, what about Freakin', guys? Like, he's a genius. I will give Freakin' full props. Everything he makes is good. Just as good as Spielberg.
Well, I agree. Like, I feel like, once again, I haven't seen this movie for almost over 10 years, so I had to look at some of the notes, and I was like, oh, I remember, like, the soundtrack by Tangerine Dream, great soundtrack. It's also, the premise was, well, it's a remake, that's what it is, it's adapted from something. But the only thing I remember having issues with was Roy Schneider being in it. I feel like he was miscast. That was the only thing I remember from, like, the movie that I was just like, that didn't work with me, was I just felt like he was miscast.
Okay. I know he originally originally wanted Steve McQueen in that role.
I can see Steve McQueen. That would have been probably a much better casting choice, personally.
But I think it came down to Steve McQueen wanted a role for his girlfriend at the time. And Freakin's like, no, you're not dictating to me. So he ended up with his second choice of Roy Scheider. But, yeah, this was my first time watching this. I'm a huge William Friedkin fan, and I had heard that this movie is brilliant. But I kept putting off watching it because I was like, there's no way this can live up to the hype that it's been presented to me with. I got to say I was wrong. It absolutely does live up to the hype. Friedkin can do so much tension just by filming close-up of tires. They're just tires driving next to the edge of the cliff.
Those cliff shots are so good.
So amazing. And I absolutely loved all the prequel, I guess you'd call it, or the prologues, where you see why each of the four guys are down there in South America. And also props to the special effects. When the oil well was bombed and going up in flames, that looked absolutely amazing. No CGI. It was all practical. I loved every second of it. And it was tense. This movie was so tense. I absolutely loved it. This jumped up for me in my list of favorite Frankenheimer movies. Friedkin, I'm sorry, not Frankenheimer. Yeah, this is absolutely up there with French Connection and The Exorcist as, I think, one of his absolute best films. I'm ashamed at myself for waiting this long to watch it.
Why did it take you so long to get here?
Because, like I said, I had just heard so much good things about it. I knew it was also a remake of, I think it was a French film, Wages of Fear. And I was like, it's a remake. It can't be as good as I'm hearing. So I waited on it. I sat on it. And then when I finally watched it, it was so worth the wait. I should have watched it sooner.
Okay. I just thought this thing was amazing. It's just the way they shot it when they're going over the bridge. I know I'm getting a little bit spoilery, but I'll try not. Just phenomenal scene. The tension level that Friedkin can bring in this film all the time is just friggin' incredible, I found. I thought everything was believable in this film. Like, I really felt I was with these people on this mission the whole time. And the end of the film just amazes me that he would do that. Just you get to the end, you're like, oh, my God, I give up. You know, you go through this turmoil, you get a little sense of relief, then it's over. You're like, oh, my God, I give up.
Yeah, I love the tension of the film. And then you're like, well, will they survive this? Will they survive the bridge? Will they survive whatever? And then it's just a blown tire. That yep. causes the first casualties, just a pop tire, and then all of a sudden calamity. It just came out of nowhere. Friedkin is a genius for this film. I absolutely love it.
You're not going to get any complaints from me. I just think this is just a Friedkin is such an underrated director by the general public. It pisses me off. The people go on about Tarkovsky and all these people, which is great, no problems. But they always leave Friedkin out. And I'm like, you got to put Friedkin on that list. He's got to be on there.
I would say for his earlier stuff, I don't think any of the stuff he's done recently has been as good as his past.
Well,
he's
To Live and Die in L.A. too, right?
Yes.
That was like really good. But after that, I think you're right. But like his newer stuff or newish stuff kind of like tail ends kind of in the way.
Still don't care. He's got a good body of work.
Oh, most definitely.
Got to be mentioning it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I think
I apologize for not revisiting this, Doug. I knew you wanted your moment, so you want to take it off the
list. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can leave her to heaven now. This is direct.
I know Chad's never seen this.
Okay. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not streaming anywhere or anything. I saw it on Criterion Blu-ray. That's how I saw it.
I didn't. I found it.
Okay. Directed by John M. Stahl, starring Gene Tierney, Cornel Wilde, Jeannie Crane, and Vincent Price in this film.
Dude, I got to give you credit. You found another film I'd never heard of. I'm freaking
like
love this movie. Oh, my God. I started this off thinking it was going to be a happy, maybe a romance movie with a little bit. Hell no. I did not see what happened in this movie coming. This thing just goes right off. Like, Chad, the first half an hour is like every 50s rom-com. I'm like, oh, is this like a Like This Girl Friday? But I mean, I knew something was happening, and it just builds small. It builds a little bit bigger, then bigger. And then something happens in the water. I'm like, what the hell? Yes, I'm in. Totally, I hit the shark run in at this point. And it just builds from there. Like, you absolutely do not like this woman by the end of this film.
No.
Absolutely can't stand her. And there's a vicious twist at the end I did not see coming.
Yeah, this movie was I love that it was filmed in this bright lighting.
Oh, just like, so happy.
Just like this melodrama or some romantic film. But then it just gets so dark.
Oh,
but the lighting,
viciously dark.
The lighting
still
and
stays.
The cinematography never changes.
This
and that's what I love about it.
Chad, you got to imagine, this is the 50s. So people are getting into boats in full suits. Rowing in a boat in full suits, not a joke. And she's all decked out in makeup and a hat. And the first event happens, she's just like, doesn't move, doesn't do anything. You're like, wow. And she's like a perfect pinup girl sitting in the boat. Doug will back me up. Mm-hmm. And it never changes from that. She's always perfect. I did have a little bit of problem telling her apart from her sister at one point.
Yes.
She looked almost as screwed. I'm like, who's talking with? Oh, okay, I got it now. It took me a couple minutes to figure out that scene when the sister starts coming in a little bit more. And they really should have changed outfits a bit more or maybe hairstyle. Because they almost had the same hair coloring to me. And it was throwing me off who was talking a few times.
I get that. I had the same issue a few times. But basically, if the person talking is nice, then you know it's the sister. If it's this psychopathic egomaniac, then you know it's the main character. Then it's Ellen.
Okay.
But yeah, this
we
movie
give
just
Vincent
so dark and
credit.
So wonderful.
Vincent Price is wonderful. And again,
yes.
I mean, he just, Chad, Vincent Price does not have a lot of heavy lifting to the very end. But when he comes in, he's like,
he was
excellent.
So young.
Oh my God. I always
love Vincent Price. That's why I'm surprised I haven't seen his movie because I've tried to see
I've never heard of this movie until Doug. I want to ask Doug where he found it in a second. But yeah, this is just a wonderful piece of history that really needs to be dug out and everybody should see it. It's kind of like Gun Crazy to me that I'd never heard of, but I finally saw years ago. I loved it. So where did you find this, Doug?
I was actually reading an interview with Martin Scorsese, and he said that this is one of his favorite films, that he loves Gene Tierney because of this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, I've never heard of this. Let me look it up. Then I saw Criterion had a Blu-ray copy of it. I'm like, oh, well, I got to get it then. And
Doug is king of the 50% off Blu-rays, Chad.
Yes. And I'm so glad I got it. This movie was a find for me that just made me happy.
Absolutely loved it.
So dark and so unexpected, but I loved it so much.
Oh, I agree with you. I absolutely blew me away because, I mean, my wife's like, what's going on? Shh, I got to finish this film. I have to finish this tonight. Because I started it, then went to the gym, and then I came back, watched a bit, and then I had to pick up my kid. Then I come back, I got to finish this. I really need to know how this ends because I have no idea.
Yeah, I had left the Blu-ray box out, and my wife picks up. She's like, oh, what's this? I go, oh, that is a movie. And then she's looking up the Wikipedia summary. She's like, oh, dear. Oh, my God. Really? That's what happens?
And truly, yeah. Chad, you need to see this movie.
I got to check it out then, yeah.
We're both giving you a full thumbs up on this one. Absolutely Doug's find of the year.
Thank you.
Full credit for the guy who's seen everything. I've never heard of this.
Well, you can thank Scorsese then next time you talk
Martin,
to him.
Martin, thanks.
So do we have time for one last film?
Yeah, might as well. Since I'm the one that's have six on my show and you get nine, I don't understand the fairness of this.
I thought we were going to break it into two, but I guess we could just do this.
Oh, we're
just have an
just
extra long.
Break it into two. I don't have time to edit even one, so let's get it done.
All right. This is Ghostwatch, directed by Leslie Manning, starring Michael Parkinson, Sarah Green, Mike Smith, Craig Charles, Gillian Bevan, and Keith Ferrari.
John, did you see this?
I did not, but I'm pretty sure I scanned by it on BritBox, so it's on Amazon somewhere.
Yes,
I haven't watched it yet, but it's definitely on that. I might check that out. But it's just, no. Once again, I didn't have time this week to...
Yes, you did.
No. So you didn't like this, Simon. I'm taking it.
It reminded me a lot. I thought Paranormal Activities really stole this plot from this film.
Okay.
The attempts at humor were awful. Absolutely painful, the attempts at humor. I thought this was boring, Doug. I gave it every effort to do something for me. I did try to watch the wrong film because there's a 2002 movie with the same name.
Okay.
And I know you wrote down, I go, this can't be the movie Doug would watch. Let me check. Oh, 1992. Let me go find the right movie. Stuff does happen, but really just at the very end. The rest of the time, I was like watching paint dry for me. I tried. The jokes were bad. The news anchors I thought were unrealistic being news anchors. And I'm like, this is a TV movie?
That is shocking to me.
What? That I hated it so much? Oh, I
did. No, that you didn't think that they were believable as anchors because that's what their jobs are.
Seriously.
This movie is the equivalent of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
So those people are real news anchors.
Yeah, they're not actors. They are actual news anchors from London,
God, they're awful. Awful. I would be turning these crap off if they were my news anchors. Oh, so this is like War of the Worlds. So they made this up.
Here they were acting. Yes.
Well, they shouldn't be acting. They were terrible.
I disagree with you, but
I don't care.
They're not actual
this is
actors.
A large pile of crap you found. I mean, you've served me leaving to heaven going, here, have a roast. Then the next day you give me like dried fries that you left in the oven. Like really, that's what I got. I have nothing good to say about this other than it bored the crap out of me.
You see, I loved it.
Oh, my God. How? Tell me what I missed.
How? Well, first of all, you said the attempts at humor. I didn't think there really was any. I don't think they were trying to be funny.
Yes, they were. When the guy scares the girl at the beginning of the film, they were trying to be funny. When the guy puts the news
anchor... I think it was supposed to be cheesy and not funny. But, yeah, I actually really like it. I thought... Since they are not actors, they are actually news presenters. I thought they did a pretty good job acting. I read that you could see the ghost pipes, that he shows up 13 times in the movie. Most people see him about 8 times. I only found him 6. But, so I have to go back and watch and see if I could find him more times, but. I genuinely liked this movie. I thought it was well done. I thought it was and much like War of the Worlds, people were calling up the BBC to complain. They thought, you know, how dare you put this on? People are in peril. And they had to say, no, it's fake. It was written and directed by actual writers and directors. It's not a documentary. It's all fake.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad you liked it. I tried hard. Couldn't get into it in any way. I watched it one sitting going, oh, good thing. I go, this must be on TV for like 2 hours. I'm like, I was looking for the shotgun, looking to watch Pearl again. Going, oh my God, give me a gummy. Get me something through this. Maybe it'll get better. Painful, Doug. Painful. And I'm never watching 9 movies again. This was way too many.
Okay.
Because you told me 6 you didn't have time for. But I had to watch 9. Don't see that being fair.
We also had an extra week or two in there.
We did, or Ghostwatchers would have gotten done. Did Doug buy anything?
I have a couple things that I bought.
I know Chad has no money, so he might buy a slushie or something.
Got it. I got an import of Monkey Shines, the George Romero
movie. I will say I have never seen Monkey Shines.
I haven't seen it in decades, and I wanted to revisit.
I was a kid. That stupid monkey on the commercial in the trailer scared the bejesus out of me.
I actually got a Blu-ray copy of The Death of Dick Long.
Of course, signed?
No, unfortunately, I did not get it signed.
Why not?
But I did want to read it. They weren't doing a signing there. They just, because it was for a festival, they had to get everybody out of the theater and the next customers in.
Got it. So you could have met them outside.
Maybe, but I also was under time constraints and had to get out of there because I had to drive back to Jersey from the city. A couple more, minutes. I got a...
So far.
It's like an hour.
I have no idea.
Let's see. Magnificent Warriors starring Michelle Yeoh, one of her first films.
Never seen it.
She was 25 years old when she made that, so that was pretty cool.
Nope.
Let's see. A movie I watched last night, Audrey Rose, a ghost story directed by Robert Wise, one of the last movies he made.
I'm 0-5 here, Chad.
I gotta say.
Me too. I've seen Monkey Shine, but I haven't seen
those. Oh, that's 1-5.
And then the last one, 4K Blu-ray of Streets of Fire.
Oh, wait, I lied. I saw Dick Long in that, so I've seen 2 out of 6. Streets of Fire is one of my favorite films. Terrible movie, but I love the music.
I just watched it this afternoon. It's not a good movie, but it's so much fun. And now those songs are all in my head.
Do you have anything to pimp out there, Meisenheimer?
Not really. Just pimping out 20 minutes with Chad, hopefully, and, you know,
tomorrow.
Just writing.
So what have you bought this week? Chick-fil-A? Burger King?
Nothing.
Okay,
I have literally like $43 in my checking. And $74 in my savings, and I have 3 bills coming up, so I'm like...
I do have one last question for my California people, and I don't think they have anything. Do you have a soup plantation restaurant?
We do. I'm trying to think where. I want to say there's either one in Sacramento or one in San Francisco. I know we do have one somewhere in Northern California.
Questions I have. Well, that's it. If they make it.
I'll make Simon watch 9 of them.
And I'll try to watch them.
Night.
Night.